Thanks for joining us on the listener-supported service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois, AM 580. It's time now for our opening commodity market report. And with that summary, here's Dave Dickey. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Dan, and good Friday morning, everyone. Let's check how prices fared in the resumption of trading. We gave the overnight opens at 8:49 Central Time. In Kansas City, December wheat opened at 8:07, up 2.5 on the open. March, 8:20, up 4.25. At the Chicago Board of Trade, December wheat opened at 7.81, up 2.75 on the open. March, 8.02, up 1.75. May, 7.75, up 7. July, 6.63, up 0.25 on the open. December corn opened at 3.71.5, up 2.75 on the open. March, 3.88.25, up 2.25. March, 3.98 1/4, up 2.5. July, 4.06, up 1.25. September, 4.14, up 4.5. December, 4.18.5, up 1.75. March of 2009, 4.25.5, up 1.25 on the open. November beans open at 9.95, up 4.25 on the open. January, 10.10, up 3.5. March, 10.25, up 3.25. May, 10.29, up 3.5. July, 10.35, up 2.5. November of next year, 9.62, up 2.5 on the open. December soybean meal open at 272.50, up 40 on the open. And January, 274.80, up 70. December soybean oil open at 42.18, up 11 on the open. January, 42.73, up 14. At the Merck, December live cattle opened at 93.87.5, down 27.5 on the open. February, 96.65, down 35. November feeders open at 108.40, down 42.75 on the open. Make it 42.5, excuse me. January, 107.75, down 55. December lean hogs open at 52.80, up 60 on the open. February, 60 even, up 10. And February pork bellies open at 81.70, unchanged on the open.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Joining us now on the telephone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities. He is in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning to you, Mike.
Good morning to you, Dave.
Want to begin with the action that we have seen in all three grain commodities that we cover, beans, wheat, and corn, and ask you what your thoughts are relative to looking at the weekly charts at the end of the day.
Well, they're going to be a big indicator to us because with the Fed news out and the energy markets, the crude oil especially making new contract highs today, Dave, we want to note and keep track of those commodities and the grains especially that are following with the crude oil and those that are not. Because if you're not following crude oil up on a 96.24 new contract high yesterday in the composite D's chart, then you're probably got some issues to contend with once the crude oil starts to give way and starts to see profit taking. So we kind of want to rank those commodities based upon how good or bad they've done against this crude oil-led rally this week.
Well, then let's look at that. On a continuation chart basis, are you looking at prices settling lower than last week's lows as triggers? Soybeans, $9.95.5, corn, $3.72, and wheat, $8.
Yeah, I think that's a real fair statement. Every Friday we give Bloomberg News an update on what we think the prices will do the following week, and this week we were thinking corn and beans would both be lower on a strengthening dollar, and we haven't gotten the strengthening dollar, but we've gotten the lower price due to the equities market seeing a little bit of stability in the dollar. And so, yeah, I think you hit it on the nose. And the other thing that maybe a piece of the puzzle that comes into play here is that Chicago's looking at possibly a major index fund coming in on the end of the day or close to the end of the day, going ahead and rolling long D's positions. So it would probably be D's beans, bean oil, bean meal, wheat and corn especially, rolling rolling those longs into marches as we get closer to the end of the day, and that could, you know, make a quite a bit of difference as well on the week, and see exactly how many positions they replace or, you know, just take off the table and don't replace at all, because all of these roles will be done at a higher price, and theoretically what we're looking at is they're going to take a hit getting out of their long deces and rolling into long marches here because of the carry in the market, and they don't like that carry or the contango, as they say, and they may not decide to put all those positions back on, and that's where, again, it goes back to the crude oil and the dollar trade and the equities trade. So, yeah, we think this week will be a big deal.
I saw that as many as 60,000 corn contracts might be rolled today.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, one of the things that was interesting about yesterday, Dave, was it looked pretty ugly, but the numbers that I looked at and the numbers I confirmed with our contacts at EFG in Chicago, on the end of the day, the fund liquidation was not that heavy yesterday, and so it looked pretty bad on the price, but the amount of actual liquidation was not very heavy. And so you got to ask yourself a question, okay, are they just holding back until today because of this other big fund that's coming in and expected to roll, or does this mean that they're going to hang tight with their long commodity positions? And it's a dangerous game they're playing right now because they've been both long commodities and long equities this last 60 days because the Fed has changed policy and pushed liquidity into the markets and kept that dollar weak. And so funds in general have gone both long commodities and long equities and not using the commodities as diversification as much. So that's great when it's going up, but if it starts to break and equities go down more than they did yesterday and break some more trend lines here and moving averages here, will that cause those same funds that are dumping out of equities to say, let's lighten up on our commodities as well? And again, it goes back to the crude oil. If the crude oil doesn't break and the gold doesn't break, they may decide to stick a little bit longer with their long commodity positions here, even if the equities breaks.
Well, then let's look at the equity targets you're looking at.
Well, I think the S&P is probably the number one that we're looking at, the S&P futures on a composite chart. Today, Dave, we're back below the 50-day moving average. We're back below the 200-day moving average. I think those are extremely important to get a close back up above. We've also taken out the second trend line that we just drew fresh about a week ago. And the reason we look at the S&P more than the Dow right now is because the S&P has got about a 25% weighting, I believe it is, in the financial, the investment banks, the regular banks. Those are the ones that have been hit hardest by the credit crunch. If there's going to be further weakening in housing and further write-downs because of the credit problems, we'd think the S&P would be the hardest hit. So that's probably the leader to the downside at this point. But that 1,500 level in the DEES futures is a real key level for us right now.
I would also think in the Dow, if you are going to look at it, if we break below, say, 13,407, that might mean danger.
Yeah, exactly, and that would probably correspond to the Dow futures chart, the DEES futures chart, the 200-day moving average. We're still above at 13,399 on the composite. So below 14 or below 13,4 would be a big issue either in the regular Dow or the futures.
Let's turn our attention then to specific commodities and look at their technical charts and as well as what little fundamental news might be out there. Let's begin with the beans, and let me ask you whether or not you feel that the whipsaw action that we've seen this week is an indication that we're looking at a potential change in trend over a short to midterm.
We do, especially if volume and open interest go up. We have a confirmed true double top in the charts right now in the November bean chart, Dave, and since we're going into delivery now and since the January is going to garner all the attention, the switch in contract from Nov to Jan, the volume and open interest, the technical look of the double chart, and what you brought to the table just now would all say, if you can't change the trend right here and resume an uptrend, then you've got a double top and a technical lower market in place here coming down the road.
And could we say the same for corn?
Well, it's harder to say for corn because it keeps dawdling around that 200-day moving average. The thing that I'll introduce to corn in the technicals and fundamentals is the wheat. You know, if there's one commodity out there that to us looks like it's been beat up enough because the global wheat price is still very good, and the United States wheat price against the global price is still very good. And just before we went on the air, the Egyptians did come across and say they bought 275,000 tons of wheat, 60,000 U.S., 60,000 Canadian, 155,000 Russian. Is that going to turn this market around? It should, because the wheat's been beat up enough, we think. technically it could go down a little bit more, but fundamentally it seems like we're bringing the buyers back to the table here. And when you have the energy prices as high as they are, we got to believe that's going to impact them a little bit too. So I'd like to think that the wheat and the corn and the wheat-corn spread is going to become more of a feature here, maybe not today, but next week, and maybe the wheat becomes a leader again to stabilize the corn. If it doesn't, though, and we stay below that 200-day moving average in these futures, you're going into a November 9th USDA report wondering what the yield and production is. Might see some longs go ahead and take some profit before the report comes out.
All right, then. Before we let you go, turn our attention to those fundamental sides on that report. FC Stone had its numbers out, I believe, earlier yesterday. Informa is supposed to have their numbers out perhaps later today. Do you think that the trade of a mindset that corn and beans are both going to get smaller next week?
I don't think they really thought much of the FC Stone numbers just from a standpoint, and this is us talking, not anybody in Chicago, but it was interesting because they took corn yield down and production down versus USDA's October numbers, but they actually ratcheted up beans versus the October numbers, and we really wonder how can you get a lower corn but bigger bean number on final, because the FC Stone is always a final number projection. You know, given the weather pattern, given the farmer input, and given the genetics in the corn versus beans, we really wonder whether the trade may not just go ahead and fade the FC Stone and wait for something out of Informa that makes a little bit more sense.
Thank you much, Mike.
Thanks, Dave. Have a great day.
You too. Mike Zuzolo of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana. Current tick, December wheat in Kansas City at 809, up 4.5. In Chicago, December wheat, 782, up 3.75. July, 670, up 7.25. December corn, 372, up 3.25. March, 389.25, up 3.25. December of next year, 420.5, up 3.75. November beans, 998, up 7.25. January, 1013.25, up 6.75. November of next year, 965, up 5.5. You're listening to WILO Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois. It's 10:01 Central Time.